The teacher characterized. The teacher should be himself what he wishes his students to become. Every teacher should be under the full control of the Holy Spirit. The youth are in need of educators who shall keep the Word of God ever before them in living principles. In these schools should be teachers who have the true missionary spirit, for the children are to be trained to become missionaries. The great aim of the teacher should be the perfection of Christian character in himself and in his students. No one should have a part in the training of youth who will be satisfied with a lower standard. If the instructors themselves have a religious experience, they will be able to communicate to the students that knowledge of the love of God which they have received. These lessons can be given by those only who are themselves truly converted. Qualifications of teachers. Special talent should be given to the education of the youth. The principles and habits of the teacher should be considered of greater importance than even his literary qualifications. One may have sufficient education and knowledge in science to instruct, but has it been ascertained that he has tact and wisdom to deal with human minds? Let none feel that having an earnestness in religious matters is all that is essential in order to become educators. While they need no less of piety, they also need a thorough knowledge of the sciences. The cause of God needs teachers who have high moral qualities and can be trusted with the education of others, men who are sound in the faith and have tact and patience, who walk with God and abstain from the very appearance of evil, who stand so closely connected with God that they can be channels of light. In short, Christian gentlemen. We cannot, in this day of peril, accept teachers because they have been in school 2, 3, 4, or 5 years. The question which should decide whether they are qualified for their work should be, have they, with all their acquisition of knowledge, searched and dug beneath the surface for truth as for hidden treasures? Are they partakers of the fruit of the tree of life? The teacher may understand many things in regard to the physical universe. He may know all about the structure of animal life, the discoveries of natural science, the inventions of mechanical art, but he cannot be called educated. He is not fitted for his work as an instructor of youth unless he has in his own soul a knowledge of God and of Christ. He cannot be a true educator until he is himself a learner in the school of Christ, receiving an education from the divine instructor. Again and again has the educator of youth carried into the schoolroom the shadow of darkness which has been gathering upon his soul. He has been overtaxed and is nervous, or dyspepsia has colored everything a gloomy hue. He enters the schoolroom with quivering nerves and irritated stomach. Nothing seems to be done to please him. He thinks that his scholars are bent upon showing him disrespect, and his sharp criticisms and censures are given on the right hand and the left. No one who will become impatient and irritated should be an educator. How the teacher's work should be regarded. This is the noblest missionary work that any man or woman can undertake. It is the nicest work ever assumed by men and women to deal with youthful minds. The smaller children should not be neglected. This work is fully as essential as the work of the older pupils. The schoolroom. If people would encourage the church in which they are members to establish small, humble school buildings in which to do service for God, they would accommodate their own children within their borders. The place dedicated to God should not be a room where worldly business is transacted. If the children assemble to worship God in a room that is used during the week for a school or storeroom, they will be more than human if, mingled with their devotional thoughts, they do not also have thoughts of their studies or of things that have happened during the week. When a company of believers is raised up, careful provision should be made for the permanence and stability of the work. A house of worship will be needed, and a school where Bible instruction may be given to the people. The workers should not leave their field of labor without building a church and providing a schoolroom and a teacher. All this has been presented before me as a panoramic view. I saw workmen building humble houses of worship. Those newly come to the faith were helping with willing hands, and those who had means were assisting with their means. A schoolroom was prepared for the children. Teachers were selected to go to this place. The number in the school was not large, but it was a happy beginning. I heard the songs of children and of parents. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman watcheth, but in vain. The establishment of churches, the erection of meeting houses and school buildings, was extended from city to city, and the tithe was increasing to carry forward the work. There was a class, not only in one place, but in many places, and the Lord was working to increase his forces. Something was being established that would publish the truth. The work is to be done not only in Australia, but in the cities of America as well. No pains should be spared to select places for our schools where the moral atmosphere will be as healthful as possible. For the influences that prevail will leave a deep impress on young and forming characters. For this reason, a retired locality is best.